If God's been good to you, go ahead and give him some praise on today. They said, Lord, I love you. If you love the Lord, give him some praise on today. We were always taught when somebody does something nice to you, you're supposed to say thank you. So if God has been good to you, if God has woke you up this morning, if God has saved your soul, then somebody say thank you, Jesus. And I had said I wasn't going to get excited before I got into my sermon, but when I just sit back and look over my life and seeing all the good things that God has done for me, I don't care what you think about how crazy I look, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. Because you know God loves you when he keeps you and you don't want to be kept. You know God loves you when he loves you and you appear to be unlovable. I don't want to delay the hour. We'll move right on into the word. I want to give honor to God who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a word from the Lord on today. Come and go with me to the 34th division of Psalm. It's a very familiar part of scripture. Psalm 34, 4 through 8. I just love God and I love praising God. I heard a preacher say, let everything that has breath and good sense praise the Lord. Amen. 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 You can call me crazy about a lot of things, but I know I got some good sense. Because God is worthy of all the praise. Psalm 34, 4 through 8. And we won't be before you long today, but we do want to share this word with you. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, you can look up on the overhead. All scriptures will be there. In your hearing, we're going to read these scriptures, these verses. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Let me read it again. Maybe y'all still asleep. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from some, from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, some of us might need to say this poor woman, this poor child, but this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of some, all his troubles. 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Read 8 with me. I just get excited on 8. Come on. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Amen, amen, amen. Find somebody next to you, maybe somebody you don't know or you don't normally speak to. Grab them by the hand and just repeat after me. Say, on today, the preacher's going to preach about. He's going to tell you one thing. Lean on the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Let us pray. You may be seated in his presence. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you, and we just lift up your holy name. We thank you for the praise and worship. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your long suffering. God, we just thank you for your loving kindness. God, we just can't thank you enough. Now, Lord, we know that we've come to hear from you and not me. And we ask that I decrease so that you may increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, let he that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. Let us be better Christians. Let us be more on fire. Let us be more zealous when we leave this place than what we were when we arrived here on today. Bless those who couldn't be here today for whatever reason. Touch them right where they are. Bless those who are watching via social media and the internet, oh God. Lord, you know every need. You know every problem. You know every plight. You know every situation in the house on today. Fix it like only you can. Lord, just we want to praise you. We want to honor you. And we want to lift you up. And it's in your son Jesus' name that we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Lean on the Lord. And if you go to the scripture that we just read, right? In your word, right there under Psalm 34, it lets you know, it tells you what was going on when David wrote this psalm. And this is a Davidic psalm, meaning that it was wrote by David. And what was going on here is that David was running from Saul. He was scared. He was scared. A lot of us always find ourselves running or hiding from something. Amen. Amen. And I know everybody in here is tough. Ain't no punks in here. Everybody's tough. Everybody's tough. Ain't nobody running from nothing. It's not no. I'm not running from no man. But you let that doctor say he needs an X-ray. I get a little nervous then. I get a little nervous. You let my baby start getting fevers. We start to get a little nervous if we start to run out of vacation time and we're sick and we don't have the ability to return to work. We start to get real nervous when they say this medicine will work and it doesn't work and they're trying things and nothing seems to be working. We start to run and hide from things. The minute they start talking about layoffs and severance packages, people start to run and hide and become fearful. Christians start to become fearful of man and his report. David was running from Saul. While running from Saul, he managed to find his way in Gath. Now, what's familiar about Gath is that that is the hometown of Goliath. Amen. Goliath was the hero. He was the LeBron James. He was the Kobe Bryant. He was the Michael Jordan for the Philistines. Now, my Sunday school people, my people who went to Sunday school growing up, you know that the correlation here is that David slew, I'm sorry, that's two King James Version, wasn't it? David killed Goliath. He killed Goliath. Okay, you can't say slew in slang because people start looking at you like, what are you talking about? But David killed Goliath. Y'all remember, if you've been to any Sunday school, he put the stone in the slingshot and he flung it up there and he hit him right between the eyes and he cut off Goliath's head with his own sword. Now, some of the Philistines were still a little bitter about that. They were still a little bitter. If you talk to Gerard about all those championships that LeBron lost, still a little sensitive. Still a little sensitive. It's a little sensitive. If you talk to us Chiefs fans about January 20th, of this year when we lost to New England, it's still a little bit of a sore spot because we got knocked off our pedestal. We got knocked off the potential to do what we thought we were going to be able to do. The Philistines thought that they had it all locked up until this little ruddy David came along and killed him. Now, meanwhile, the problem is he's running from Saul and bumps into King Achish. Okay, that's how you pronounce it, Achish. And he bumps into him, and you can find the story in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, and we're going to read a little bit of it. And this one says, then David arose and fled that day from before Saul. So he's running from Saul. He's running from Saul. He's already running, okay? And went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So they mocking him. They trying to hype the king up. They trying to hype him up so they can get retribution and revenge because David killed their champion. Now listen, this is what happened. Now David is already running from one issue. And David said, now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So listen to this. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Let's pause right there. I'm going to hit the pause button. David, by record, and I may be wrong, but I don't think so, just took advantage of the first guilty by insanity known to mankind. Because back then, they didn't kill the insane. If you went in and played crazy and foamed at the mouth and scratched the walls and let the saliva run all up in your beard, they would assume that you were just nuts. So David, in all his fear, obviously got a notion, got a word from somewhere, and we're going to talk about where that came from, and he immediately started playing crazy. Now, some of us ain't playing. But in this situation, David was playing crazy because he had become fearful for his life. And the only way out, because you don't forget who beat your champion. You don't forget who killed the baddest man on the land. He was 5 foot nothing, young. They tried to put the king's armor on him, and he almost knocked him down. He was just that little. He couldn't even fit the armor. It was too heavy for him. But David took those words to heart and started acting crazy. Some of us, we can play crazy. You know, somebody ever ask you something you don't want to talk about? What you do? You start playing crazy, huh? People faking sleep. Sometimes I'm talking to Ina, she get the dozing off. If I got to repeat myself too much, I don't even want to talk no more. And then it hit me one time that she's doing that, so I'll shut up. I'm like, I know you heard me. But the king had gotten mad. We said, why would you bring this man into my house? He's crazy. He's insane. Get him away from me. Y'all wasting my time. So that plea of guilty by reason of insanity not only got him out of Achish's revenge or out of his wrath, but it got him a little bit further away from Saul. Amen. So I'm going to go right into my first point. My first point is look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. All right. 4 says, I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. I sought the Lord. When we talk about seeking God, that's not just going to God when we're in a state of crisis. That's not just going to God when things are going bad. When we are seeking God, Because somebody's going to say, well, Pastor Trey, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I don't have to seek him. Jesus is in my heart, so God's always with me. This Hebrew version This Hebrew meaning of sought the Lord means that you are earnestly raising your hands and jumping for the attention of God. This is a sought after that is specific for you and your situation and your walk with Christ. Yes, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time because he's God. But when I need him to step into my situation, I need to seek after him so he can speak directly to my problem. God deals with specifics, because if the fact that God was just omnipresent took care of everything, there would be no need to seek God. We have to seek to be in his presence. We have to seek God to be in his good standing. We have to seek God in order to please God, so when we cry out to God, he can hear our cry. God hears everything, but what he listens to is specific. And if we're not in right standing with God, then there's some things that he hears, but he's just not going to be listening to. See, everybody, well, I'm saved and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Some of the things that we're dealing with, we are fearful of because we're not actively, authentically seeking God. Coming to church every Sunday, it is an indicator that you could be seeking God, but it is by no means the eternal, permanent proof that you're seeking God. I can come up in here every Sunday, 52 Sundays a month, and be as far away from God as I am from China. The Bible says that you worship me with your mouth, but your heart are far from me. See, the reason why we're fearful, you ever have to take a test, young people, and you scared of the result? You scared of the result. Why? Because you haven't studied for the result. I used to not study every once in a while. And when before I would take my test, I would sit there and stare at the problem as if the answer was just going to mysteriously creep into my mind. And no matter how much I stared at A, B, C, and D, I was just as ignorant, as confused as I was. No matter how, I would circle it sometime, like, I'm going to come back to this later. But I would be fearful at the outcome because I already knew the reality that I was facing with was that I didn't prepare for what was to come. So we wait until we're in trouble, and then we want to actively start seeking God. See, I'm in trouble now. So now I'm seeking the Lord. But we have to understand that we need to be seeking the Lord at all times. At all times. Why would we not look to God when the psalmist says, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and then he also delivered me out of all of my fears. See, a lot of stuff that we sitting around here dealing with, a lot of us deal with anxiety. A lot of us deal with fear and worry. We can't sleep at night. We stressed out. We worried about money. We worried about our children. That's because really deep down, we know that we haven't given God our best. God has never, I have to do a double negative. God has never not given us his best. He's always gone above and beyond. He's always been Jehovah Jireh. He's always given you more than enough peace and been Jehovah Shalom. If you can put Jehovah on it, and God has been that to the best that anybody else could ever do it. I was going to say to the best of his ability, but it has no end. His ability has no limit. His power has no beginning or ending. It just is. Listen, Psalm 1, 2, and 3 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We talked about, Brother Freddie talked about the word desire today in Sunday school. We should have a desire to want to be closer to God. Two of the most important ways to be close to God is by way of prayer and by way of his word. And if we're not meditating in his word day and night, how can we be intimate with God? How can we do it? We have been hoodwinked and bamboozled into thinking that if I just come to church and put a little in the offering plate, and if I just show up a Tuesday here and there and serve on this auxiliary here and there, then I am seeking God. We used to have a saying when kids would act up on the juvenile circuit, and they would try to say sorry, but you couldn't feel the sorry, and we gotta quit accepting sorries that don't come with changed behavior. That's a bonus. But what I'm saying is, we would tell them, "You just saying sorry so you can sleep tonight." Some of us are doing just enough so we can say that I'm serving the Lord. But God knows when we're cutting him short and when we're giving him all we got. Because who has ever gone to God and said, "Lord, I just need 50% effort. I just need a quarter. I just need, you, Lord, I need you to get me out of this now. Whatever's on my x-ray, Lord, I need it gone." We want the full kit and caboodle when we go to God. "Lord, fix my marriage. Lord, heal my kid. Fix my mama. Fix my daddy." We want God to fix everything in totality, yet we give our God a fraction of what we can do. What if God started dealing with us in fractions? What if God started dealing with us with if you got a negative and a positive, it goes to zero? Because every good and perfect thing comes from God, and the only negative thing that enters the equation comes from who? Us. So if our negative with God's positive applied mathematically, we would be left with zero. But his delight, he finds joy in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Why would I not do this? Because 3 tells me that if you do this, see there's an if. If you do this, which means the following is contingent on the preceding. So listen, if you do this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You want to know why what we doing not prospering? Because we not meditating in his law day and night. We're more worried about the worldly accomplishments and the money and the vacations and the 401k and the pay raises and the degrees. But you have to understand that when life happens, none of that stuff can help you. But being like a tree planted by the rivers of water is what will keep you grounded and planted and stable in your situation. And when it's your season, you will be standing ready to bring forth the fruit that God is ready to bless you with. But you can't produce fruit or any type of blessings if you're being blown by every plight and predicament. But if we meditate in God's word, we'll be planted like the rivers of water. The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. It don't say pray when stuff is bad. It says pray without ceasing. Those of us with spouses, we wouldn't be marrying people and staying married to people who only call us when they want something. But that's how we treat God. We treat God just like that. I call on you when I need you. When it's above my pay grade, that's when I'm going to call you. When I finally have been humbled to the point that I understand I can't fix this by myself, mom and daddy can't help me, I've burnt all my bridges, then we fall down to our knees and we start talking about down on my knees. That's what we do. But we like the woman with the issue of blood, we've exhausted everything else. She spent 12 years in hell when all she had to do was put her faith in Jesus and she would have been made whole immediately. Some of us are struggling because we lean it on everything else. You leaning on people on the phone all night and they falling asleep on you. You wake and then, hey, you awake? Oh, yeah, I hear you. What'd I say? They don't even know what you said because they haven't been listening. But I serve a God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. And the Bible says, I got a little ahead of myself. Number two says, the Lord listens. The Lord listens. The Lord listens. This poor man. You can put your name, because everybody, and this is not talking about money. David's not talking about money. When you down and out and your health is failing, whether it be physical or mental, this applies to you. If you feel like you just can't go on anymore, you this poor man. If you at your wit's end, you this poor woman. If you can't take another bit of bad news, this poor person in this scripture is you. And the Bible said that this poor man cries out and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. We lean it on people who they couldn't care less about our problem sometime. You know why? Because you got this poor man confiding in this poor man. How can two poor people help each other? How can two poor people help each other when we both struggling with the same thing? If my marriage is failing and your marriage is failing, how are we on the phone talking to each other? But this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. And see, some of us are leaning on people who will condone what we're talking about. Because if I present the story in just the right way, that I know my dad is going to side with me, I can kind of control how I give the story so I can control and manipulate the counsel I'm receiving so I can have confirmation to do what I was already going to do anyway. Okay, some of y'all look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. So you've never sought, look at that word, sought. You've never sought advice and kind of sprinkled a little bit of you in the story? So you can control the narrative of the counsel you receive? The difference is when I cry out to God, there is no sprinkling of me in there. I can't hoodwink God. I can't deceive God, for God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that shall he reap. So when I cry out to God, I come to you just as I am, naked, wounded, bruised, and God, I need you. And the Bible said that this poor Pastor Trey cried out, and the Lord heard him. Sometime in the morning when I got stuff on my mind, I'll call my dad, and you know, he's retired, and he's not always up like he used to be up. And sometimes that phone go to voicemail. And sometimes I call my wife and, you know, I don't even know what they do up there. They don't even work on people. All they do is have meetings at that hospital. And I call her and I can't talk right now. I'm in a meeting. Sometimes you have to learn, why is God always fourth or fifth on the list? Why we always go to him after we can't get nobody else? I have to learn to say, you know what? God, I need you right now. And then I can call Daddy and Ina and say, guess what? I prayed to the Lord. He heard my cry and he delivered me out of that fear. And then instead of me calling, putting my poor spirit on him, we can rejoice and dance together because the Lord has already moved on my behalf. I don't need a priest. I don't need anybody. I can go to God all by myself and he will hear my cry. The reason why some of us are living in fear is because we're not seeking God. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is watching out for those who are living lives that are pleasing to him, those who are trying to seek him, God is watching out for us. But his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. They're open. A lot of time when we go to God because we're in a debacle or in a situation, we really don't have the faith to sit there and wait for God to deliver us out in his own time. A lot of us, have you ever waited on somebody and then they have the audacity to come in and rush you? It's a humanistic abomination for you to be late and come in and rush me. We haven't talked to the Lord in weeks. And now that I've said, Lord, and this is how some of our attitudes are. Lord, I've decided to bless you with my presence. And I need a right now blessing. I need it right now. And I don't have time to wait. And then as soon as we get through praying and say amen, we're waiting for the miracle. And then when it doesn't come, I got this problem going on. We haven't even given God time to work the situation out, and we haven't given God time to speak to us or intercede on our behalf. We want what we want right away. Some of us are staying in the wilderness because it's that wilderness experience that's even keeping you remotely close to God. If God healed you, he might not hear from you. If God fixed your marriage the way you want it to be fixed, he might not hear from you for a long time. If God delivered our children out of every situation, he might not know the next time he would hear from you, and God knows everything. But his ears are open to the prayers. Are you trying to tell me that God is not answering the prayers of his children? I don't believe it. But if God is not answering your prayers, maybe we need to look at how we're conducting ourselves and treating the God who we want to give 100% to us all the time. I don't want a fraction. I want the whole thing. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God wants us to deal with him in totality. He doesn't want a piece of our heart. He doesn't want a fourth of it, a half of it. God wants your all and all. Y'all thought I was just up here making stuff up. God wants us all. For after all, it's our reasonable service. He didn't give us a half of Jesus. He gave his only begotten son for all of us. God wants us to seek him with all your heart. Some of us are part-time lovers. That's right. I forgot what it's called when you take a worldly meaning and make it apply to a spiritual situation. Some of us only want to interact and deal with God when we're in need. And the number one time that every Christian calls on God when we're dealing with enemies. Amen. One scripture I've always heard was, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. A Christian will blurt that out in 2 seconds, but hasn't done any work for the kingdom. Haven't prayed or read their word in months. We have to seek God with all of our heart, all the time. All the time. My final point, and I'm gonna take my seat. Just a little taste. Just a little taste. As I was putting the final touch on the message on last night, I was sitting there thinking about how the women came over yesterday. I already told them I was going to get them, y'all. They already knew, so I'm not surprising anybody. And Ina was looking at me like, man, you really, you know, I'm the cook. That's what I do. She said, you really doing a lot. You got a lot of food in here and all this and this and that. And once we got everything set up, I took the girls and we ran around for a little bit. And I pulled up and I couldn't get into the driveway, so I was out there waiting for a little bit. Who was I waiting? DaVita. I was waiting on DaVita to move her car. It was raining, and it was raining. And I said, I ain't taking my baby out in this car. It's too much rain. And I see all the ladies pouring out, and I see plates, and everybody's leaving. And I really wasn't too concerned about the tacos, because that's what they had. They had a Mexican thing. I wasn't really worried about the tacos. I was cool on that. But all I could think about in my head is I just said, I sure pray my wife put up just a little taste. Kwame, I just wanted a taste, dog. I just, if you haven't had Pastor's Pound Cake, you know, request one. Sister Lindsay, you acting up. So as I was sitting there waiting on DaVita, and the more I think about it, I should have blamed this on DaVita, because had she come out when I originally sent for her, I probably could have gotten me a piece. But I had to wait patiently. That's what I had to do. And I kept seeing all the women. Sister Tiffany, I think she had to go. Everybody had a little plate. I said, well, man, they really like them tacos. I go in there, and my sister Shanice, she got the cake saver in her hand. And I said, hey, sis, let me get a piece of that cake. You know what she said? Julian got the last piece. Julian hasn't cooked anything. Julian hasn't meal prepped anything. He don't live at my house. He didn't put in no work, no money, no nothing. And I was kind of counting on my sister to say, you want it? Because, I mean, you did. She said, Julian got the last piece. And she wasn't coming off of it. I could tell by the way she said it. I was going to have to fight her for it. I just wanted a little taste. Because I know how good. I didn't need it. I know somebody's thinking. I know I didn't need it. But listen. I just wanted a little taste. Because I know how good and moist and the little lemon that drizzles down the side. I'm painting a picture for you. It's really, if you missed out, women, you really missed out on something good. But when I start to think about how good God has been to me and all the near misses and how sweet he is and how the blood sprinkled down my Savior's side, old taste. I'm glad that the blood runs much, 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 much longer than Pastor's Pound Cake. You gems need to be ashamed of yourself. I'm going to leave y'all alone. As we come to a close, Matthew 17:20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. How can we have, for real, just a little bit of faith and live in so much worry and anxiety and fear? Let me answer that for you. I don't have nothing deep for you. You can't. Because if a little bit of faith can make you say, move to this mountain and it'll go from here to there, you can't have that type of faith and still live and abide in fear. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and what? And of a sound mind. So you can't be fearful and be faithful at the same time. The two do not coexist together. It's like light and darkness. You can't say I'm a faithful Christian and be sitting at home fearful every night. Something has to grow. Well, how do I get there, Pastor Trey? Meditate in the word both day and night. How do I get there, Pastor Trey? I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to hide your word in my heart so I may not sin against you. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. He His praises shall continually be in my mouth. That's how you grow your faith. That's how you grow your faith. If I had to call this something else, this psalm of praise, I would call it a crazy praise, because he had to play crazy to get delivered out of all his trouble. And then he came back and wrote this psalm and said that I cried out to the Lord, I sought the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he delivered me out of all my fears. He was scared of ancients, he was scared of Saul, he was scared of everybody, because he had so much going on. But God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above more than we can ask or think. You just need a little taste of God. You just need a little bit of faith. You just need a little bit of grace to deliver you out of all your troubles. A lot of you does not compare to a little bit of faith. A lot of your knowledge does not compare to a little bit of faith. When we look to those hills and we feel discouraged, we ask that question just like the psalmist, where does my help coming from? And the psalmist answers that same question and says, my help comes from the Lord. Y'all, God is ready and willing to help us. We just have to seek him out. If you know that your help comes from the Lord, why are we not actively seeking him? If we know that everything that we touch will prosper, if we only seek him, why do we wait for trouble to come to start seeking God? The Bible says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for us. The Bible says that. If God cares for us, then why are we not giving all of our troubles to him? I know we think our mamas and daddies are our superheroes, but they humans just like us, and sometimes they got more problems going on than we do. And they can't always help you out of your valley, because they in their valley themselves. But God is a very present help in the time of trouble, and if I cry out to him, he's going to hear me, and he's going to deliver me out of all my fears. If God cares for the birds of the air, doesn't he care for us even more? Paul said that I was young and now I'm old, and I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Are you the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Or are you his righteousness? How do I know that God deals in wholes? How do I know that I can lean on God? Because God sent his son down through many generations. Jesus is God wrapped in the flesh. We talked about that this morning, y'all. If you were there, you would have caught it. I'm not going to argue with you about anything, but if you don't, like Zeus said, if you don't believe that Jesus is God wrapped in the flesh, then we done talking. Because God sent himself wrapped up in flesh for you and for us. God gave his whole self for all of us, so we could inherit the kingdom of God. So I don't have to be fearful of hell, because of Jesus Christ, I can spend eternity in heaven. He led a perfect life. He was born of a virgin. He committed no sins. Although he was found guilty, we know that he was innocent. How many people believe that Jesus was innocent? He was God in the flesh, and he was incapable of sinning. The Bible says that God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. God is unable to sin. And since Jesus was God, God gave his total self for all of mankind. And they whooped him all night long, and he never said anything. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They laid stripes on his back and pulled flesh from his side. They plucked his beard and beat him all night long. While you were sleeping in the comfort of your home, my Jesus was getting beat. While you were sitting there shaving your beard, my Jesus was getting his beard plucked out. While you was driving to church this morning, Jesus had to carry the cross up Golgotha's hill.
He carried the whole cross, not half of it, not a fourth of it, but he carried all the sins of man on his back. God deals in the whole thing. And they numbered him in between two thieves. They drove nails through his hands and nails through his feet. And the blood came pouring down. And he never cried and he never complained. And although we're not worthy, and while we were yet sinners, and while we were still trifling, while we were still petty, while we were still lying, while we were still stealing, Christ died for us. He gave up his ghost in between the sixth and the ninth hour. And they pierced him in his side. And the blood and the water came streaming down. The blood and the water for the washing and the renewing of our sins. And they placed him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. And he laid there all night, Friday night. Not part of it, not a fourth of it, but he laid there all night. And he laid there all night, Saturday night. But he got up early Sunday morning. Because not half of the power is his, but all power in heaven and earth is in his hands. So why do I have to be fearful when God is able to raise himself up from the dead? If he defeated death, I don't have to be scared of death. If he defeated the grave, I don't have to worry about a casket. If he defeated hell, I don't have to worry about it because I won't be there. God is able. And that's why at the beginning of the 34th division, I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care if I'm winning or if I'm losing. The psalmist said that I will bless the Lord at all times. Whether I'm down and out, I'm going to praise him. If I'm sick or healthy, I'm going to praise him. If the doctor say I'm not going to make it, I'm still going to praise him. I will bless the Lord. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I'm going to skip down to 3. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. What does it mean to magnify? It means to make something bigger. So when God has been good to you, I need you to stand up and tell everybody, God has delivered me out of all my fears. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. See, when you boast about the goodness of God, don't nobody be mad but the devil. So quit leaning to your own understanding. Quit leaning on Nene and Bebe and them. Lean on the everlasting arm of Jesus Christ, because he will fight your battles. He'll heal your body. He'll bless your finances. He'll bless your going in and your coming out. God is able. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And these things, all these things, will be added unto you. God bless you.